Is This Wise? Written by Wandering Jedi Historian and read by Corey Cathonia. Rated for teen and up audiences and no archive warning supply. For the fandom of Star Wars prequel trilogy and the relationship of Jango Fett, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Miles the Mandalorian. With the additional tags of Alternate Universe, Mandalore Jango Fett, Jedi Watchman Obi-Wan Kenobi, Pantoran Miles, mentions of canon typical violence, assassination attempts, discussions of Kirstad aka Death Watch and their actions, and Mandalorian culture. Obi-Wan followed along as Jango greeted the representatives of the traditional clans who had come to the meeting. Miles had explained that this yearly event was key to keeping the support of the old clans, that they needed to feel as if the Mandalore was listening to their needs, too. And, to be honest, Jango would much rather talk to them than to the new Mandalorians, Miles had also said. Most of them don't know the difference between the Hitade and Kirstad. Dealing with them takes a lot of self-control. And also alcohol. Obi-Wan had winced at that. He had met Satine Kryze, the new Mandalorian's duchess. Perhaps if he had met her and the new Mandalorians before he had become settled in Keldabe, he would have liked her more. But after spending time with Jango, Miles, and the people loyal to the Mandalore, he couldn't help but think there was something very lacking about the new Mandalorian's domed cities. Mandalore had a rich history and tradition all its own. It should never feel like just another core world. As they moved along the line, Obi-Wan filed away the names and either faces or armor patterns of the people Jango greeted. Being able to identify who was who would certainly be helpful later. But he also kept his senses cast out wide around them. The forest had been unsettled and almost prickly all morning. Something significant was going to happen. It was just a question of what. Jango finished greeting the leaders individually and turned to address them collectively. The forest screamed in warning, and Obi-Wan had his lightsaber in hand instantly, stepping in front of Jango as he moved with force-enhanced speed. Jango, Miles, and the rest of the Hitade had their blasters in hand by the time the bolt collided with Obi-Wan's saber. The bolt would have hit Jango right in the head. His bare head, as tradition dictated that he greeted the leaders without his helmet on, both to prove that Mandalore spoke to them personally, and as a sign of good faith. Jango jammed his helmet on his head as chaos erupted in the hall. A few more shots rang out before the man responsible was disarmed and dragged up to face Jango. His armor bore no clan sigils, and all the leaders in the room disavowed knowing or claiming him.
"Seems we have a problem," Jango drawled.
"You are unfit to be Mandalore," the man spat.
Angry shouts erupted from the Hitade, but the Mandalore silenced them with a single gesture.
"Certainly you don't plan to replace me, or you would have challenged me properly, as tradition allows," Jango stated. "And clearly, Vizsla intends to continue to be an honorless Hutun."
Gasps echoed through the room as Jango made that statement. It was the first time he had ever so blatantly called the leader of Kirstad out.
"Is this wise?" Miles asked on their private comm channel. "You've avoided starting outright conflict with them so far."
Responding on the same channel, Jango said,
"It's time that changes. We can't allow this to continue."
Miles nodded, wordlessly promising to support his Redur's decision. Switching back to outside audio, Jango continued.
"Nothing to say? Not going to deny who sent you?" he demanded.
The man snarled.
Obi-Wan knew this was one of the more difficult parts of his job. He knew where this was heading. This would-be assassin was going to be executed for his crime. Jango was going to be judge, jury, and executioner. As it was allowable under Mandalorian law, he could not intervene. He could attempt to protest it, but in so public a setting, that would do nothing but undermine Jango and risk the hard-won stability of relations between Mandalore and the Jedi Order, a key linchpin in relations between Mandalore and the Republic. So he said nothing. "Clan Vizsla will reclaim the power they deserve," the would-be assassin vowed. Jango pulled a blaster and ended the interrogation with a swift, clean blaster bolt. That was the sort of thing Obi-Wan knew the new Mandalorians disapproved of, and he couldn't entirely disagree with them. Proper legal process was important, even in such a clear-cut case. "Anyone have anything else to say?" Jango demanded of the crowd. The Hatare scanned the assembled people, looking for further signs of trouble. There was a beat of almost perfect silence. A rather astonishing feat, all things considered. The next words that Jango spoke would have surprised Obi-Wan once. After getting to know the man, they don't. "Then let us continue," the Mandalore declared. For it was very much the Mandalore speaking to them, not Jango Fett the man. The gathered leaders went into the large conference room for the meeting, murmuring amongst themselves. Something had shifted with that day's events. Obi-Wan couldn't put his finger on it exactly, but he knew it to be true. Only someone truly unobservant would have missed the increased guard presence in the throne room the next day. "Has something else happened?" Obi-Wan asked Miles. If it had, then he should have been made aware. He had slept in his own bed the night before rather than join Jango and Miles, but it had only been because he had needed a long meditation on the day's events. Surely that wasn't reason enough for them to keep something from him. The Pantoran shook his head. "Just taking some precautions," he explained. "Jango hates Kierstead, hates Vizsla. Rightly so, to be fair. But he's always been careful to tread the line to avoid outright antagonism. He'd rather let them be the ones to initiate conflict rather than be the aggressor. The declaration he made yesterday, though? Well, calling Tor Vizsla a Hatoon is practically a declaration of war." The Jedi ran a hand over his face. "Then why did he do it? Mandalore has been stable since Jaster Miro consolidated power. Why declare war?" he asked. Miles stared at him for a long moment, clearly assessing him. Then he gestured for Obi-Wan to follow him. Only once they reached the privacy of Miles' office did he speak again. "For a long time, Kierstadt was quiet. But they've been slowly growing more active again since Jaster died. We've been keeping it as quiet as we can to not spread fear. But they attacked a hospital last week. A civilian one, Obi-Wan. Not a single soldier in it. A few weeks ago, they attacked orphanages in two different cities. Now an assassination attempt? Jango cannot let this go or he looks weak. Yes, war is a risk, but if he looks too weak to be Mandalore, we could face war anyway. There isn't really anyone else with enough support to take and hold the position. So either we are all united against Kierstadt, or we're facing another civil war. Those are our choices," Miles told him. "I'm trusting you with this information, Obi-Wan. I know your position means there are certain responsibilities and obligations that you have. But if this information gets out, we could have bigger problems on our hands. Jango and I know where the Republic really stands. They'd out Jango and put Crazy in charge of all of Mandalore if they could, with zero care or respect for our traditions, our histories, or the will of our people.
Obi-Wan closed his eyes and breathed out slowly. He considered his options. His role as watchman came with responsibilities, yes, but he did have a significant amount of leeway in his actions. He knew to the very depth of his being that Jango was the right ruler for Mandalore. Satine Kraze was the right ruler for the new Mandalorians, but she was not the one for the rest of them.
"How can I help?" he asked.
Miles's eyes widened.
"You'd want to help," he repeated.
The Jedi's lips quirked into a wry smile.
"A Jedi Watchman is supposed to help ensure diplomacy and sustain peace. A civil war fits neither of those things, does it?" he asked. The Pantoran snorted.
"No, I don't suppose it does." Obi-Wan sensed the moment Jango entered the room, but he didn't turn away from the window where he had been watching the training going on in the square below. He smiled as arms slid around his waist and a kiss was pressed to the side of his neck.
"Miles said you intend to help us," Jango murmured.
The Jedi smiled at another brush of lips to his neck.
"Yes," he replied. "A Jedi Watchman can't very well sit back and do nothing when the stability of the system they are assigned to is threatened."
Jango hummed.
"That the only reason?" he asked, whispering the question right into Obi-Wan's ear.
The copper-haired man shivered at the husky tone. Technically, his answer was supposed to be yes, that he was merely doing his duty as a watchman. And that was true. But there was no denying that Obi-Wan, as a person, couldn't stand back and do nothing. He'd never been any good at that.
"No," he replied quietly. "I'm doing what I know to be right."
Jango pulled back to turn him around.
"I want my people to be able to live the lives that they choose," he said. "To have peace to make that choice. Whether it be as mercenaries or farmers, bounty hunters or teachers. I didn't want it to come to war. For their sakes, I truly didn't want that."
Obi-Wan nodded his understanding.
"I know," he assured. "Miles explained. Inaction would be far worse for your people. I support you, Jango. As a Jedi, and as myself." The dark-haired man smiled.
"I think I care more about Obi-Wan."
The copper-haired man ducked his head shyly. He loved being a Jedi, but it was wonderful that someone appreciated him as himself, and not just his role.
"Then it's a good thing I care about Jango," he replied cheekily.
The coming months would bring struggles, but Obi-Wan was certain of his choice. If only all members of the Council were as certain.
"Peaceful options you are supposed to champion," Yoda chided.
Dooku interrupted before more could be said.
"Peace is the preference, but when that isn't possible, the Watchman is supposed to help find the best solution. Coordinated efforts to eliminate Death Watch is significantly better for Mandalore than a civil war if Mandalore Fett doesn't act and appears weak," he insisted. "Knight Kenobi made the correct decision to back the Mandalore's pronouncement."
The other members of the High Council shared thoughtful looks.
"You're certain that was the only other option?" Mace Windu asked.
Dooku nodded sharply once. On the other end of the holocall, Obi-Wan stood straighter.
"I am, Master. There were attacks that cannot go unanswered, or the Mandalore looks weak. There are no others currently who have enough support to take and hold the title without all-out civil war. Mantalor Fett has the support he does because he is seen as the moderate option. That's what a majority of the people want, the knight explained. Death Watch is largely connected to a single clan. The challenge that was issued, and the subsequent answer, has only further rallied old clans behind Mantalor Fett. Attacking hospitals and farms isn't popular, as you would imagine. The Mantalor has declared all responsible Darmanda. Culturally, it is the worst thing that can be done to a Mandalorian. There will be conflict, but if Death Watch continued their attacks unchecked, it would get far, far worse. Shortly thereafter, the meeting concluded. Obi-Wan was grateful for Master Dooku's support as it swayed the rest of the council into agreeing with him. As a Jedi Watchman, he did have more freedom to act without direct input from the council, but he was required to report impending conflict. Having council approval for his support did make things look better from an official perspective, should the Republic or anyone else ever choose to question his actions. Rubbing a weary hand over his face, he realized he was getting hungry. A quick check of the time proved it to be a bit past the normal start of late meal. He wondered if Jango and Miles were available, or if he should go to one of the mess halls in the compound. As he exited the long-range communication room, he grinned at the sight of Miles and Jango waiting for him.
"Your council talks as much as mine," Jango muttered. "We thought you'd still be in there at midnight."
Obi-Wan laughed. "That was a short session," he replied. "A full council session can last hours, but this was just me reporting in. Those are much shorter." Jango grimaced, and Miles patted his shoulder in faux sympathy.
"I think I'll stick with our council," Miles said. "That sounds awful."
The truth was, Obi-Wan didn't disagree. "Fortunately, the council agreed with my assessment of the situation, so I don't have to check back in for 3 standard months, unless something goes terribly wrong," he explained. Jango smiled.
"Food?" he offered, ready to be done talking formalities.
Obi-Wan nodded. "Yes, please. I accidentally skipped mid-meal," he admitted. "I was behind on some form work." Miles groaned. "Form work is the bane of my existence." It was Jango's turn to offer mock sympathy.
"You knew what you were getting into when you married me," he reminded.
The Pantoran let out a snort. "You say that like I wouldn't have gotten saddled with it anyway as your second," he countered. The dark-haired human's grin was utterly unrepentant. The Mandalore assignment was certainly nothing like Obi-Wan had ever expected, but when it came to people, it was proving to be everything he wanted. The end.